We are going to go off lectionary today. Since we are doing baptisms lately, I thought it would be good to read what Paul says about baptism in the third chapter of Galatians. So let us listen for God's word through these words. Paul wrote that you are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if you belong to Christ, then indeed you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. This is holy wisdom, holy word. So today we get to baptize three young people. Isn't that awesome? Three at once. And it's a joyous occasion, but honestly, it might not look like much. Just a little ritual. Some promises made, a little splash of water, some liturgy that I read, but it is deceivingly small and simple, this baptism thing. I've gotten to do some really, really interesting baptisms in just 4 years of ministry. Right before I announced to my last church that I was leaving for here, I got to go on a mission trip to some mountain villages in Haiti. And the parish priest, this guy had 30 churches under his belt. This was an Episcopal priest, and he said that I could preach through a translator, of course, and help with the baptisms. Tisms, plural. And I was thinking when I got down there, I was like, oh, cool, I get to hold a cute little Haitian baby. Try dozens and dozens of people, not all of them infants, walking forward, not even in a line, all charging forward for baptism. And there I was, dunking water on people's heads, saying the baptismal formula in French. And my friend Rob counted 63 people on my side of the room. But my first baptism was of a man named Rod Bittner. Rod was 95 years old when he decided to make the commitment. 95 years old, a survivor of Pearl Harbor and the beaches at Normandy, and a lifelong churchgoer. And because he'd been going to church his whole life, I asked him, Rod, you're 95, why do you want to do this at this point? And he said, well, I've never been baptized. I said, why not? He said, I never thought about it. But I said, really, what does this mean to you, this baptism thing? And he said, anything that puts me on the path to being a better person at 95. What else in the world could unite the Owen family, 63 Haitians, or a 95-year-old veteran in Virginia? What else could tie together billions of people across time and culture and belief? It is deceivingly small and simple. Yet this little bit of water makes such a profound and radical claim that this is the truest thing about you. You are a child of God. You. You belong to Jesus Christ. You are an heir of Abraham. You are of infinite worth to the Creator of the entire universe. Your dignity is God-given. No one can take it from you. In Paul's words, you are Abraham's descendants by faith, heirs according to the promise. You are, I am, so many are. Does that not sound radical and world-changing? It'll be our joy and our responsibility to remind these kids that we're going to baptize today of this radical truth in huge ways and small ways. We will promise when we wash them with water, we will promise to remind them of who they are. And we'll tell them Sunday after Sunday in that refrain, God loves you and so do we. And we will, I know we will, volunteer occasionally with their Sunday school classes. And we'll tell them that truth even when they make mistakes, even when they're not proud of themselves. And we will remind them of that when they celebrate milestones. And even in intangible ways, as a church, as a community, we will be a vessel through which God shapes them into the people they're called to be. If that makes you nervous, it should. Because with this wonderful good news of baptism is also a responsibility to live that truth out. So when the world tries to box these kids in by certain labels, you know the ones. You are what you do for a living. You are your past. You are defined by what people say about you. You are defined by what you cannot do. You are less than. You know, all those lies that the world tells. We'll remind them of what Paul wrote. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You belong to Christ. Baptism is deceivingly small and simple. There's a church in Detroit that surrounds its baptismal font. They have theirs in the middle of the church. And they surround the baptismal font with stacks and stacks of bottles of water. And you may have heard about what's going on in Detroit, in Flint, Michigan. The city of Detroit, of course, skirts the edge of financial oblivion. And things are getting very bad for Detroit's poor citizens, to the point that a state-appointed emergency manager mandated that the city water department raise rates and embark in a shutoff campaign if you're 60 days late paying your bills. And an estimated 27,000 homes were disconnected last year. And city records show that a third of all water residents in Detroit are at least 60 days past due. So you can probably guess what the demographics are for these cutoffs. And then there's the water crisis in Flint. Have you heard of this? Entire communities forced to drink dirty water, and even children getting lead poisoning because of gross mismanagement of the water supply. And people across the world have been shipping bottled water to Flint just so people can survive. So with all that in mind, this church stacks these hundreds of water bottles around the font. And it's this juxtaposition between what the powers and principalities of the world say about who people are and what they're worth, right up against the claims of Almighty God. And the water bottles symbolize that claims, those claims that say you are expendable, you are worthy, less than those who have privilege, who have resources. But that font says something entirely different. Baptism is deceivingly small and simple, but it expresses a radical truth that can define your life and the lives of others. Believe it or not, it's the truest thing about you. Thanks be to God.
In response to the word, let us stand and sing hymn number 833.